Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. I want you to get your Bibles handy and study with me. I have an important announcement to make concerning your health, and that is that no one has contracted this coronavirus due to listening to the Warren County Radio Bible School. You can safely be a student in this school from your automobile or from your house or wherever you're listening to the radio, because there has been no reports of anyone that has contacted the virus over the radio. I could even cough into my microphone and you could hear that cough and know that you are protected from that virus. Now, I know I'm being a little facetious here, but some of us are scared to get out and get about. And a lot of people have been afraid to even go to worship and the Bible class at worship. But as long as we're on the air, you can go to Bible class in this kind of a Bible school. And so I hope you'll get your Bible and study with us. This Bible school is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. And our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. Now, we are back to having our regular assemblies, but we have done, during this time when we weren't meeting in the building, we were meeting in the parking lot. And we're broadcasting over a little FM transmitter that just goes right out to the parking lot, a very low power transmitter, but those could come up and sit in their cars and attend services, kind of like a little drive-in church. And even though we have returned to having services in our building, we're still using that FM transmitter, and some who are not yet comfortable assembling inside are still able to drive up and be part of our worship from the outside in their cars, in the comfort of their cars. And we'll take you the Lord's Supper, and you can sing along with us, and you can pray with us, and study God's Word with us in that manner at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. But now let's get into our Bible school for today. We're looking at some Bible notes, some Sunday school notes that were written for Sunday schools many years ago. And this was written for a Sunday school from March the 4th, 1923 by E.A. Elam. And we're in the midst of a study on the relationship of Christians to civil government. So let's return to that study, and I'll complete that study in this broadcast, and then we'll go on to the next study that is going to introduce us to the story of Jesus in Gethsemane. But now let's start with Elam's notes on page 69 of his little book that he put out of those Sunday school lessons, and begin reading. And it says, "Because God has ordained and overrules all civil governments as his ministers." Now, when we're using the word minister here in reference to those that are in civil authority, we're not talking about preachers. A lot of time preachers are called ministers. And a lot of time the word minister applies to anyone that is just serving God's church or all Christians. But the word means a servant. Really, it means a servant that is carrying out the task assigned to them from another. And so when we see our civil officers ruling as government officials, what they are doing is God's work in establishing order on this earth. It's not religious order. It is civil order that they are bringing to this earth. And they are to be attending continually upon this very thing. And this very thing that we're talking about is the restraining of evildoers and the suppressing of the wrong and making it so that his children can pursue their lives in tranquility, in peace, and quiet, and live goodly, godly lives. And so Christians are commanded to pray and to make supplication and to make intercessions and to offer thanksgivings. Here's the quote: "For kings and for all that are in the high place," that's the civil authorities or officers, "that God will use them," his servants, "so that his children may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all godliness and gravity." 1 Timothy 2 verses 1 through 4. Christians cannot just take the matter of vengeance into their own hands, and neither can they take the matter of administrating out of God's hands. We don't just all administer everything our own way, but we submit to the civil authorities which God has ordained. It is not the work of individuals, and God assures them that He'll attend to vengeance. O ye of little faith, can we not trust God? We see then, again, as clear as light, that the relationships of Christians to civil government is to be subject to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether the king is supreme or under governors, as sent by him for vengeance on evildoers and for praise of them that do well, 1 Peter 2:13 and 14. Whether Christians like the form of government or the laws of the government under which they live, that's not the point. They must cheerfully and humbly submit. Now listen, submit for the Lord's sake. Christians cannot join mobs. Now, peaceful protest is one thing, but this lawless violence and destruction of government property and of personal property, that is not something that any Christian should have any part of. And really, my advice would be for some of these people that want to be law-abiding citizens to just get out of the way when that starts and let the police and the law officers do their work. It's the work of God they do when they bring order into chaos and riot. Now, in no case can Christians disobey that government or refuse to submit to any of its laws or regulations except only when it forbids their doing something God has commanded or commands them to do something He has forbidden. In that case, they must obey God rather than the government. This way is so plainly stated in the Scriptures that the wayfaring man, yea, even fools, shall not err therein. According to this, Peter and John said to civil authorities with power to imprison and even to behead them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to hearken unto you rather than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we saw and heard," Acts 4:19-20. And then again, in Acts 5:29, they said, "We must obey God rather than men." According to this, the three Hebrew children disobeyed Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 3, and they were cast into the fiery furnace, heated 7 times more than it was wont to be heated, declaring to Nebuchadnezzar, "God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king." According to this, Daniel disobeyed King Darius and went into the den of lions. According to this, Jesus was crucified, and the apostles went to prison, and some were beheaded, and early Christians suffered martyrdom. By the authority of Caesar's government, the civil authorities, Jesus was crucified. The church was persecuted. Many were imprisoned, and not a few were killed in different ways. When Pilate said to Jesus, "Knowest thou not that I have power to release thee and have power to crucify thee?" Jesus replied, "Thou wouldest have no power against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me to thee hath the greater sin." Upon this, Pilate sought to release Jesus, but he was a coward, and he was afraid of the Jews, John 19:10-12. Whenever there comes a clash between God's law and civil government, God must be obeyed at all cost. Yes, even at the cost of life. It may be added that to place personal comfort and protection and money and other property or even life itself before obedience to God is a traitorous and most fearful thing. That ends the text for this Sunday school lesson. But right at the end, there's a little poem that says God's hand is in it all. And I'll read this little rhyme. It's just four lines. It was written by one named Ward. From day to day, help me to say, dear Lord, whate'er befall, we'll do thy will, believing still, thy hand is in it all. Now with that, we'll turn the page and go to the next lesson. It begins on page 71 of the little book I have, and it is going to be about Jesus in Gethsemane. It is a Sunday school lesson written from March 11th, 1923. And to get the background and the context of this, I want to read to you from the book of Luke. And I noticed when I read before in this lesson, it's going to compare the accounts of Jesus in Gethsemane between that which is written in Luke and Mark and John and Matthew. And we'll be looking at all of those as we proceed through the lesson. But now let's begin in Luke chapter 21 and verse 5. And I'll begin reading, and like I say, I'm reading from the American Standard Version. Luke chapter 21 and verse 5. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and offerings, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Teacher, when therefore shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when these things are about to come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not led astray. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is at hand. Go ye not after them. And when ye shall hear of wars and tumults, be not terrified, for these things must needs come to pass first. But the end is not immediately. Luke 21:10. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be great earthquakes, and in divers places families and famines and pestilence. And there shall be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands upon you, and shall persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. It shall turn out unto you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to withstand nor gainsay. But ye shall be delivered, even by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you they shall curse and put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, and not a hair of your head shall perish. But in your patience ye shall win your souls. Luke chapter 21 and verse 20. But when ye see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that her desolation is at hand. Then let them that are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them that are in the midst of her depart out, and let not them that are in the country enter therein. For these are days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distresses on the land, and wrath unto this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Luke chapter 21:25, And there shall be signs in sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, and perplexity for the roaring of the sea and the billows, men fainting for fear and for expectation of the things which are coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh. We'll end the class here and pick up with that reading in our next class session.